Ramsey TV.
Martin Zander, you're so boring. You taught the same thing. You've taught the same things for 30 years. Where's your creativity? Where's your flair? Where's your open mind? Where's your Athenianism? Don't you want to teach something new? No, I don't. And thank you very much. And you are welcome. Yes, this is Martin Zander teaching the same things for 30 years now. Seeing some new nuances, seeing some new shades, and shedding more light on existing truths, but certainly never tossing out truths established in the Word of God due to being blown about by an article or a video or a conference or a debate. No. I settled on the truth. I murder the alternatives. Unless you're coming with a verse. Oh, yeah, there's one more thing I changed on. Oh, by the way, you know, what's the opposite of murdering the alternatives? Entertaining the alternatives. And let me ask you this. What's the alternative to truth? Error. And again, many people appointed me to error. You got to watch how bad this video is, Martin. It's terrible. Let me know what you think of it. I've disappointed many people, and you know who you are. I've disappointed many people. They wanted me to watch these awful videos. No, I won't do it. Only when a departure from truth gets so bad do I have to go into it, try to understand the position, and then explain it to those who are being swayed. See, I don't want to have to do that. Because it sounds like I'm discussing. It sounds like I'm being an Athenian. But I'm not. No, I'm having to do it. Because I don't need to do anything but these verses. I have the verses. But when people are being swayed by the latest new teaching, by the latest wind of teaching, then I got to get into the weeds on it. But this is good for many people because it establishes them in what they know. And it is comforting to know that the truth stands up to scrutiny. Truth always will. Truth always will stand up to scrutiny. I meant to bring you another verse yesterday in 2 Corinthians 11:4. Let's just go to this briefly before I jump into today's topic. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4. Paul's talking about being jealous over the Corinthians. I'm jealous over you with a jealousy of God, for I betroth you to one man to present a chaste virgin to Christ, yet I fear lest somehow as the serpent deludes Eve. Here you go. This is instructive. As the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness. And these opponents to the truth of the preexistence of Christ, of all things coming out of God and through Christ, and nothing coming into existence except through Christ, and of the great obedience of Christ, who being in the form of God, deemed it not pillaging, that is, robbery, to be equal with God. Yet he empties himself, taking the form of humanity. I love that truth, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, that is, people who would attempt to explain that instead of believe it, it's grievous to me, really. And I'm jealous over them. I don't want them. It's almost like I feel like a father. It has nothing to do with age. But I feel like a father to them and to you, in a way. And I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve by its craftiness, your apprehensions, should be corrupted, that is broken into pieces from the singleness and pureness which is in Christ. Being seduced. Aaron Welch seduces by verbosity. Peter May by philosophy. For indeed, he who is coming is heralding another Jesus. I hate to say this, but these gentlemen are heralding another Jesus. They're heralding a Jesus with far less power, far less glory, far less influence in how things came into being and how things cohere. It's just about, in fact, I really have to say that they're heralding another Jesus whom we do not herald. Or, Paul says, you're obtaining a different spirit. This is ors. These are ors. Or you're obtaining a different spirit, which you did not obtain. Or a different evangel. See, it says or this, or this, or that. It's not a different evangel. These gentlemen are not teaching a different evangel. They're in the body of Christ. And no one ought to be, again, I've said this, but I'll say it again. No one ought to be shunning anyone here. No one ought to be disfellowshipping anyone. I love these brothers, yet I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deludes Eve, your apprehensions, that is, my audience, the apprehensions of the members of the body of Christ, might be tempted to be corrupted, that is, broken into pieces, seduced, and the serpent moves by craftiness. Every action, again, either a multiplicity of words or human philosophy. And neither one is a good reason to jettison established mature truth. Not established because of tradition, but established because of Scripture. Scripture verses. We have Scripture verses. They do not. They have verbosity and philosophy. Well, I believe the truth until I read Aaron Welch's article. I believe the truth until I watched Peter May's video. No, not good enough. Not good enough. Show me the verse. Show me the money. Show me the verse. You don't have the verse? Then you don't have the money. You're bankrupt on this topic. Continuing on, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. For if indeed he was coming as heralding another Jesus, whom we do not herald, this is another Jesus, it really is. Paul says, you are bearing with him ideally. You are bearing with him. And this is what I'm trying to dissuade you from doing. You should not be bearing with this teaching. And Paul's not using the word ideally as a compliment here. You are bearing with him. So apparently there was one person Paul had in mind here. For if indeed he who is coming... Someone came into the Corinthian ecclesia and were dissuading them about some foundational truth. And this truth we're talking about is foundational. In that these folks are heralding a different Jesus. A Jesus with less power, less influence, less glory, less obedience. And Paul says, you are bearing with him ideally. It's like, oh yes, we're open-minded. We're not going to be rude to you by not letting you have your say. In fact, we're going to let you take the podium and explain to us why these verses don't mean what they say. Explain to us. Ask us questions. Make us question what we believe. See, this is what Paul says. Don't do this. You're bearing with these people. Paul's actually saying, don't bear with them. But it sounds like such a godly thing to do, to bear with one another. Bear with one another. Not in this case, you're not to bear with these people. You're not to bear with them. You don't owe them a hearing. How many times have I said that? You don't owe them a hearing. Another thing I changed on was at the Great White Throne when the Lamb's Book of Life is opened. Each one was judged in accord with their acts, and they were condemned. The concordant literal New Testament says, and they were condemned, each in accord with their act. They were condemned. In other words, condemned is a down judgment, catacrino. So everybody goes to the Lake of Fire, which is the second death from the Great White Throne. I thought, well, if that's what the scripture says, that's what it says. But then I found out that Mr. Nock, the translator, took the reading of one of the three ancient manuscripts, Vaticanus, Sinaiticus, and Alexandrinus. Apparently, two of those three manuscripts had crino, not catacrino, which is judging. It could be a favorable judgment, could be a negative judgment. And I thought, well, why did Nock take the one reading that was in the minority? So I'm going to go with the odds, I said to myself. And it's judgment. And I wish the concordant literal New Testament would change that also. Two of the three ancient Greek manuscripts say crino, not catacrino. So I changed it based on facts, based on coming to information concerning a translation issue. Here's how you develop, I don't want to say change. Well, yes, okay, if you want to change something, this is a nuance, but I guess it's a main teaching about what happens to people at the Great White Throne. But something's got to be pretty heavy in order for you to change a foundational truth. It's got to be either a scripture verse or a translation issue. That's it. No philosophy, no verbosity. Thank you very much. Guess I covered that pretty well. I feel good about it anyway. Here's something I actually have changed. I'm going to bring you today. I think I've said in the past that Satan hijacked Christianity. Maybe I'm not giving myself enough credit. Maybe I never said that. I have told you that Satan has hijacked the name of God and the name of Christ and has created this religion called Christianity, which has been the worst PR tool God ever had. Nothing has defamed God's name more than the Christian religion with their teachings, with her teachings of eternal torment, free will, and the Trinity. In Daniel chapter 7, we see four beasts coming out of the sea. And these four beasts represent four religions, and they all are of demonic source. And we know that Satan disguises himself as a messenger of light, not as a messenger of darkness. We also know that the word religion means dread demonism. And we all also know from scripture, love the scripture, love verses, great. So great to have verses on your side. 1 Timothy 4:1, Paul speaks of doctrines of demons, teachings of demons. That goes along with the word religion, diesse daimonia in the Greek, which means dread demonism. Demons are into teaching. This is how they foist their falsehoods upon the world, through teachings. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in an information war. And you see, the word teaching sounds so nice, like we're all into teaching. We want to hear teaching. And yet, I refer you again to 2 Timothy 3:7. Paul talks about those who are always learning. Learning goes along with teaching, doesn't it? We all want teaching. We all want to be learning. But Paul speaks of those who are always learning, yet not at any time able to come to a realization of the truth. So there's a point where learning becomes detrimental because you're learning for the sake of learning. You're not learning in order to settle on the truth and then murder the alternatives. You're learning because you're an eternal learner, because you're a discusser. You want more discussions. You want more debates. You want to hear more sides. Let's get 12 people at the podium to explain to us their position. That's forever learning and never coming to a realization of the truth. Because when you come to a realization of the truth, you can learn more about that truth. That's what I'm into. I'm into teaching you more about the truth. I'm not into teaching for the sake of teaching, for the sake of bringing something new, for the sake of tickling your ears, for the sake of exciting you, Over the years, I may have developed different ways of explaining something. I have different examples, different metaphors. Again, bringing out new light on an old truth. And again, when I say old truth, don't confuse that with tradition. These are established, scriptural, mature truths. The salvation of all. Established, mature truth. Are you going to go to a website by somebody who's teaching eternal torment just to learn about it? Well, we need to put our teaching to the test. You do? You need to go to the scriptures to put teachers to the test. That's a whole different thing. Yeah, you need to go to the scriptures to put teachers to the test. But you don't need to go to someone's ideas or their philosophies or their magnificent writings to find the truth. No, we find the truth in the Word of God. So, I may have said in the past that Satan has hijacked Christianity. But this is what I think now, and I'm not sure I've ever said this. Maybe I have. You be the judge. Here it is. Christianity was created. See, there was a time when Christianity as a religion did not exist. It was created by forces adversarial to Christ in order to combat what Christ did on the cross. So it's not that Satan hijacked a legitimate religion. No, no, no. Satan hijacked the name of Christ and the name of God, but he created a religion from scratch. So which came first, doctrines of demons or the Christian religion? The doctrines of demons came first. The teaching that goes against Christ, that would belittle his accomplishment at Calvary, namely the salvation of the world, that would put the responsibility for salvation on your shoulders, i.e. human free will, rather than on Christ's shoulders at the cross. These teachings were developed in the celestial realm by Satan to combat what was done so obviously and so completely that there's no way it could be undone. When Christ was on the cross, he despoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. So nothing could be done about what Christ had accomplished. But boy, oh boy, could it ever be lied about. Boy, oh boy, could it ever be distracted from. Could it ever be maligned? Satan, as we know, is the father of lies. And so in the dark corners of the celestial realm, there was a diabolical meeting subsequent to the cross of Christ. There was a dark, diabolical conclave of demonic spirits who bandied together to develop a plan. The goal was a lofty one and seemingly impossible. How can we make people think that they are serving God and Christ, but they will actually be serving us? How can we make people say the right words, but believe in their heart of hearts the lies? As I said, seemingly impossible task. And it is humanly impossible. But these plans were not of human origin. These plans were of demonic origin. And it was decided upon to form a religion. a false system. Paul calls it the systematizing of the deception. Doctrines of demons that would be put into a pleasing package and that would be set up within the confines of a pleasant system and that would be introduced into the human race via church councils, via respectable men of God, trained professionals who would be trusted by humanity, who would set themselves up as the priesthood of our Lord's day did, as the experts, the ones who would tell you how things were, the ones who presented themselves as the only ones qualified to tell you how things really were. And they would deceive hundreds of millions, even billions of people who were created by God to want to belong. And this is the most evil thing. Satan took a legitimate human need to be loved and to belong. And he developed the religion to cater to that weakness. Not a weakness, but a need to cater to it. To play upon it. To play upon the emotions of people. And to bring them doctrines, teachings that would tickle their hearing. That would also play into the human tendency of pride and of wanting to see one's enemies be punished. And this system of deception came to earth. But Paul pulls back the veil on Satan to those who care to look, who care to know, saying that Satan disguises himself as a messenger of light and his minions as dispensers of righteousness. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such are false apostles, fraudulent workers, being transfigured into apostles of Christ. There is the scriptural evidence that Satan and his workers have stolen the name of Christ and are posing today as apostles of Christ. And those under the influence of these demons don't even realize it themselves, but that suits Satan's plan just fine. Maybe somewhere deep down inside, these leaders of the Christian religion have to ask themselves, why am I so popular? Why is it perfectly acceptable to wear a cross around my neck? Not only acceptable, but respected. What am I doing wrong that I'm not being persecuted by religion as our Lord was, as my Lord was? Well, it must be a different day. It must be a different time. I guess this is a time for Christ to be acceptable for those who carry his name to be lauded, paraded, respected. Guess it's just a different day. That's what they tell themselves, but it's not. Same story. The reason Christians can't be persecuted by religious people as our Lord was is because they are the religious people. And they are the ones persecuting the true faithful, the true body of Christ, who have been taught by the true Christ, not the fraudulent Christ, who employs his fraudulent workers, who deceive millions and billions of people by being transfigured as dispensers of righteousness. Righteousness, not lawlessness. But underneath it, it's lawless. The core of it is satanic, and it's very ugly. And so, in closing, it's not that this legitimate religion has been hijacked by Satan. It never was legitimate. Its very inception was of the evil one. And it continues today, becoming more popular than ever as more and more and more people, even sincere people, go off the cliff into aeonian destruction by joining, embracing this religion. And we know that they're going into aeonian destruction. As I said on Friday, we know they are because they oppose you. Their opposition of you is proof not only of their aeonian destruction, but of your aeonian salvation.